It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is one of my absolute favorites, y'all, Pastor Scott Rogers. How are you this morning, sir?
Good. How are you on this very, very snowy day?
Oh, you know, I'm blessed and highly flavored with his favor. Thank you. Thank you very much.
With this beautiful little powdery snow.
Yes, I like it. It's like a blanket. It reminds me of the Lord's grace and mercy, how he is just so gentle and comforting. I just like it.
I like that, but I don't live in Colorado for a reason. Okay? Just letting you know that.
Okay. Well, I'll
appreciate the snow, but it can go away as fast as it got here.
Okay, y'all. I'll try to turn it down just a notch.
No, you just, if you know what? I'm glad somebody likes it. It is what it is.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries. They're located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. I think I covered it all.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You do that almost in one breath. It's pretty impressive, actually.
I'm working on that.
I'm telling you. You're like, I was like, you got all that in. That was impressive. I'm sitting there like, wow. Well, let's have a word of prayer and let's get started. Gracious God, I do thank you today for the snow, for the weather, for the seasons. Do ask for safety for all those that are out there today driving and having to do the things that they do. But I do pray, God, that this morning you pour out your Holy Spirit upon all who are hearing this today. Bless these words, for they're your words. And just help us, oh God, to truly be focused and awake so that we can absolutely see your hand at work in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title, Spiritually Awake or Asleep.
So
I might have to put my feet up on this. I don't know.
If you put your feet up, you might go to sleep, and that's not okay.
Okay.
You know, this actually comes about, it was probably about this time of the year. Now, I went to school, I went to seminary in Dallas, and so, you know, I think in the 4 years I went to seminary in Dallas, I mean, we might have had snow and ice one time. Okay, so it's very rare. Usually this time of the year, it's actually beautiful. I went to Perkins School of Theology, which is at Southern Methodist University. Beautiful campus, big trees, nice benches everywhere. It was beautiful. And one of the things that you do as a first-year student at Perkins, at seminary, is that you take a spiritual formation class. And you study different forms of spiritual formation, different prayer forms. It's actually a non-credit class, but you have to take it to graduate kind of thing. And so one of the exercises, it was about this time of the year, right as we started the spring semester, the person that was leading it said, your task before you come to our next meeting is to go find a park bench and sit there for 30 minutes. Don't take anything to write, to read. Just sit there. And then I want you to jot down, at the end of the 30 minutes, everything you heard, saw, smelt, tasted, felt, anything that touched you while you were sitting there. Now, some of you, again, you've heard me on here before say this, but and if you know me at all, you know this. Sitting still is not my spiritual gift. I had a buddy of mine who, in seminary, who was a big hunter or fisherman type guy. In fact, that's what he did before he became a pastor. He led excursions and stuff. And he would talk about, in fact, I talked to him yesterday about this. He's my Calvary partner. I talked to him yesterday. And he was talking about, gosh, I'd like to just go sit in the woods and just sit there for a day, a couple of days. And all I could think of was, how incredibly boring. You want me to do what? One time he wanted me to go with him, and I was like, well, what will I do? I don't hunt. I don't fish. He was like, well, just sit there and enjoy nature. I'm like, with what? Can I take my iPad? Can I take my, you know, my phone? He's like, no, that's the whole point. And so when it came to this exercise, I dreaded it. I truly dreaded it. I remember even going and talking to another one of my friends in that class, and I was like, I don't want to do this. But, you know, I was a pretty good student, and I'm one of those duty type people, so I thought, well, I should probably do it. I mean, I thought I could just make something up, you know, but I thought I'll go do it. So one afternoon, I walked out into there's a common area, beautiful area with some nice benches, and it was a nice cool day. You know, it was kind of a light jacket day sort of thing, right? And I went and sat. And so I looked at my watch. And I went, okay, 30 minutes. And I sat there and looked around and really enjoyed myself. I was just looking, and it was a little breeze. It was gorgeous. And so I looked down because I wanted to see what time it was. And it had been 90 seconds, and I was ready to go. I was like, oh, my gosh, I have to do this for 28 and a half more minutes? I've seen all the nature and all the wind and the I wanted to see. So I sat there, and I mean doing this, right? I sat there, and I sat there. And I sat there. And I sat there. Oh, wait, you know, I fell asleep. I literally fell asleep on this park bench because I was so bored. So I got up and I was like, this is not working. So I left. I decided I'd try again the next day. This time I was like, I had some coffee before I went. I was like, I'm staying awake this time. So the second time I went, I did this again. I got on the bench and I sat there and I won't tell you that the time went fast, but I did stay the whole 30 minutes. I did stay awake. But as I was sitting there and being, quite frankly, very bored, I started to notice something. There was a smell. And just south of campus there at Southern Methodist University was an old Wonder Bread plant. Mm. And I started to smell that bread. You can smell it now, can't you? Ooh. And I started to smell that bread. Now, I will tell you, I was there at the exact same time the day before, and I'm sure that smell was there yesterday. But I didn't smell it. And then as I was sitting there, that little breeze was kind of hitting me. And I took a breath, and I thought about, you know, I was a scientist before I was went into the pastorate. I have a chemistry degree. And so I love science. And all I could think of was, wow, that breath. I started listening to my breath. In, out. And I got to thinking about, of course, because I'm a chemist, I started thinking about the chemical compositions of things, right? And I was thinking about those things. And then I started to watch. And I watched people start to walk by me, of some that were tall, some that were short, some that were you know, skinny, some that were a little wider, some that were white, some that were African American, some that were Asian, and men, women, older, younger, and I started noticing them as they went by. And then I could hear the rustle because all of a sudden I could hear behind me. I'd been sitting there for a while. I know there were people behind me, but I started to hear them. It was, you know, again, this time of the year, so there were leaves on the ground. It was crunchy, and I could hear the crunchy, you know, behind me. It was almost sensory overload. Now, I will tell you, all of that was there the day before. Okay? There wasn't anything super special about that day versus the day before, with the exception of me. Come on. This time, I decided I was going to take this seriously, and I was really going to pay attention to what was going on. And so when I went back to write the paper, I wrote about this. And all of a sudden, it sort of hit me. In just that 30 minutes, how many things about the goodness of God did I see and feel and experience? The smell of the baking bread, the wind that provided that oxygen to the lungs, the sounds of the people, the murmurs of conversation, the smell of the just the air, the taste sort of on your tongue of that beautiful wintry cool. And all of a sudden it hit me, that's a gift of God. But what really hit me was that this happens every single minute of every single day. And all of a sudden I was confronted by the fact that many times I am so spiritually asleep that I miss the very beautiful gifts of God.
Come on.
See, that's what today's lesson's about. I was teasing you about wanting to live in Colorado because of the snow. But this morning's a perfect example. I got up and immediately started thinking about all that needs to happen because there's snow. So I wanted to get up early. I needed to make sure that because my car was outside, I was going to have to warm my car up. I texted you to see if we were still having, or texted Neva, actually. We still have an hour of power. I texted my staff to let them know that I had driven around to see if they could get in today. And I'd been doing all these things. And it was, you know, for me, that's how I operate. It wasn't until I sat there that I go, well, this really is beautiful. You know? I mean, it's holding on to the trees real beautiful out there. I don't know if you can see it through the window behind me. You can see it a little bit, maybe. But it's gorgeous. But that's not the first thing I saw. I will be blunt. That is not the first thing I thought of. That is not the, that is not my, you know, default. And so I wonder, I'm probably not alone on this, by the way, but I wonder what other things might we be missing? What has clouded our lives and stealing our awakeness? What's causing our spiritual sleepiness? So when I think about that, I go back to Deuteronomy. And I know that some people are like, wow, you're really going back. Well, Deuteronomy is a great book, by the way. If you need something to read on this cold day, get out Deuteronomy. Just read it. It's great. But in Deuteronomy, they're literally at the precipice of the promised land. Moses, who knows he's not going in with them, really starts to tell them, that's why it's called Second Law. He sort of tells it all to them again, right there at the mount. And the reality is, for me, I often call Deuteronomy sort of Moses' last will and testament. It's kind of like, here's my last little leadership gift to you, right? And so there's not really anything super new in Deuteronomy. It just retelling. Like, I want to make sure you get this before I'm not with you, okay? I just want to make sure you get this, okay? And so specifically today, I want to look at Deuteronomy 8. And I'm going to read just a bit for you, starting in verse 6. So I'm going to read this just a little bit to you this morning. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks and streams and deep springs of gushing, out into the valleys and the hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates and olive oil and honey, land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. Now listen to this. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Now you would think, I'm gonna pick on our spiritual ancestors for a moment. You would think that after 40 years in the wilderness, you've heard all the stories about the Exodus. Your ancestors told you. Now again, none of them survived, remember, because that whole generation had to pass because of some of the things that happened. That you've heard the stories about being slaves in Egypt, about the Red Sea parting, about the giving of the law, the quail, the manna from heaven, right? Every day the Lord fed you. And now you literally are on the mountaintop looking over into the promised land. And the promised land is always described as the land flowing with milk and honey. And you just heard it. You won't be hungry anymore. There's figs and there's pomegranates and there's barley and wheat and all these incredible things. You would think that you'd be like, wow, God is really taking care of us. God is really on our side. God is really walking us into a place that is going to meet all of our needs. God is the mighty and powerful and You would think that'd be the case, right? And yet Moses right here, in the midst of that conversation, says to the people, be careful. Don't forget the Lord your God. And I want to shout, I actually have it marked, if I had my Bible, my study Bible with me, I actually have it marked in there. I want to shout. I want to go, how could you forget? Right? How could you forget the Lord your God? I mean, good grief. Look at all that's happened. But the problem is, I find that as soon as I say that, this passage becomes a terrible mirror for me. You know, the mirror you don't want to look at because you're not sure of what you might see coming back. This is that mirror for me. Because part of me thinks, how is this possible? Well, I don't know. Let me tell you how it is possible, because I do it all the time, right? I do it every day. I did it this morning and I knew I was coming to do this. And I did it this morning. I think Moses, in Deuteronomy especially, in this last book, Moses brings up all of the history and reminds them of all the things that have happened. Because I think he's trying to convince them God was there, God is there, and God will be there. And don't forget that. Don't take that for granted. I think what hit me really on that park bench during that exercise was how for granted I took the things of God. I mean, here, Moses talks about, he's like, look, you came to Egypt because you found grain. And then the king, of course, forgot Joseph. Remember that story? And enslaves the people. 400 plus years they're enslaved. Moses is asked by God to go to Pharaoh. Don't let my people go. Then there's the plagues because Pharaoh won't let them go. They have the Passover, which is a terrible 10th plague. Pharaoh finally is like, all right, get out of here. So they go. All these plagues, again, God is directing them, helping the people of Israel to be taken out of the slavery, out of bondage. They get to the Red Sea. God parts the Red Sea. They go through it, right? And then the Red Sea falls, and some of the chariots and the Egyptians are killed, and they don't follow them anymore. And it's not one chapter after the Red Sea story that the people start to say things like this. You know, at least we had meat in Egypt. At least there were graves in Egypt so that when we die, we could be buried. See, Moses has dealt with this now for 40 plus. Come on. This grumbling. This, I don't understand. This, something's got to change. Why is it like this? To the point that even when Moses goes up to Mount Sinai to receive the law and then get the Ten Commandments, you remember when he comes down, he finds that they've built a golden calf. Literally, we're only just a little time after the Exodus story, they're building a golden calf. And not only are they building a golden calf, but the worst part of that story, and I'll do that story, because that story is really powerful. But the worst part of that story for me is when the people say, it's this golden calf that brought us out of Egypt. Now, the golden calf didn't even exist until about a week ago, right? But it brought us out of Egypt. Again, I want to put in my study Bible, what are you doing? Why are you saying these things? And then, of course, the 40 years in the wilderness. But here we are. We're on the precipice of something new and something great. We're on the precipice of the land flowing of milk and honey. But Moses knows his people. Maybe too well, even. But he says to them, whatever you do, don't forget the Lord your God. Now, biblically speaking, when we talk about forgetting the Lord your God, we call that being spiritually asleep. Don't be spiritually asleep. It's one of Moses' final things that he tells them literally in the book of Deuteronomy. He says, don't forget this stuff. Observe the commandments of God. Don't miss it. Think about, for us, living in the 21st century, we kind of look at this story and go, okay, well, that's sort of them and ancient. But the concept is still the same. The concept is very much still the same. How often we miss God at work. Or maybe we see God at work and then we forget just like that. We see a movement of the Spirit and then we forget it. Or we're in a dark place. We're in a wilderness time. We're in a time of turmoil. And instead of saying, you know what? God has brought us through. God will walk with us. We know that. We've seen that. Instead, we curse God and say, God, where are you? Why are you not here? I think one of the big issues with our relationship with God is how quickly we forget the relationship with God. It's never God who forgets the relationship. That's part of the covenant. God never forgot his people in Egypt. God helped them to escape Pharaoh. God provided the manna and the quail in the wilderness. God literally sets them at the promised land. And if you go forward into Joshua and Judges, they conquer the promised land and take over that space. But how quickly and easily we fall back asleep. It's as easy as sitting on that park bench and falling asleep because I was bored. Just like that. I worry that that's where we are now as a society, as a people. That we have fallen asleep. That we don't see the movement of God. Not because it's not there. But we don't choose to be awake enough to see it. To spend enough time to see it. We're so busy, so clouded, so cluttered. There are so many things that go through our heads and hearts that we can't seem to find the room to stay awake. And I wonder if that's why we sort of are where we are. It doesn't take a genius to see that there's a lot of backbiting and hurtful speech and hatred and oppression and all those isms and there's truly systemic sin out there. And so much of it, I think, comes back to this root problem of being spiritually asleep. When we don't see God at work, when we don't recognize that God is active every single moment of every single day, then we begin to get complacent. And that complacency leads to sleepiness. And that sleepiness leads to unfaithfulness. And it leads us to relying so much on ourselves. And if we think of God, it is in the blame sense of, why aren't you here? Why aren't you getting us out of this? That is a dangerous place for humanity to be. It's a dangerous place for us as individuals to be. So what we're going to do in the second half of the program today is I'm going to talk a little bit about what it might take for us to be spiritually awake. So how do we combat that? If spiritual sleepiness is a real thing, which I believe it is, How do we overcome that? What's it going to take for us to truly turn that around to where our focus is so much on God that we're overwhelmed by God and awakened by God? So we'll talk about that in the other half of the program.
This reminds me.